Welcome back to another episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast. I'm Ali Awad, your host, and today we're going to talk about why taking L's is so important. You know, they say that kids should not get participation trophies, and I'm a firm believer in that. Every single year, my team has a goal at the end of the year that we want to hit, and if we don't hit that goal, then we're not going to give everyone bonuses. In 2018, we had a goal of hitting $1.5 million in 105 days. We hit that goal, and as a result, I gave everyone in the firm 2 weeks paid time off, plus I think a vacation to anywhere in the world. 2019, we had our first $1 million month that we hit in October. 2020, our goal was to do $5 million in the last 100 days. 2021, we wanted to do $10 million in attorney's fees in the last 100 days, and we just came up short. So that was the first year in 2021 where I decided, yeah, we came close to our goal, but we didn't hit it. And so I didn't give everyone the bonus and the extra paid time off and the extra vacation and the extra money because we didn't hit our goal. Because I'm not a participation trophy type of guy. I'm a, we're going to crush our goals and we're going to win together type of guy. And I know that a lot of people probably don't like that. They feel like, hey, I put in the effort, so I should get rewarded for my effort. No, you don't. You get rewarded based on your results. I don't care how much you trained to go to the Olympics and become the best runner possible, but if you're not hitting that 9.6, 9.7 seconds in the 100 meter dash, you're probably not gonna get the first place world record. Even if you train more than everyone else and you're just born with slightly shorter legs or you don't have the upper body strength to get that sprint in motion, your efforts are not directly correlated to your reward. It's the result that's correlated to the reward. Some people have the talent and are born with an incredible gift. They're so smart, they're so fast, they're so strong, and they don't have to put as much effort as you do to get the same result or to get the same reward, while other people need to put in a lot more effort. And I think it's important for kids, employees, colleagues, professionals, everyone to realize that we are not all born equal in terms of talent or in terms of skill, in terms of aptitude, in terms of our surroundings and our family origin and the resources that we have. But we're all in control of how much effort we want to put in with direct correlation to the intended result. And so I have a series of stories that I'd like to share with you guys today about why taking L's is so important and how it's shaped me into the person that I am today. So in third grade, there was this yo-yo competition in our elementary school. And I remember our coach, Mr. Pinson, Frank Pinson, he was watching me kind of play around with the yo-yo and it's this group of kids. And he saw me struggling. I was trying to do the walk the dog. I put the yo-yo down, tried to look as cool as possible. And I knew that I wasn't actually doing a good job, but I was putting in the effort. I was showing that I could actually try to compete. And he was nice enough to let me proceed to the next stage. And when I got to the next stage, there were a bunch of other kids that were way, way better at yo-yo. They were doing the walk the dog. They were doing the merry-go-round. They were doing the cradle the kid, all these different tricks. And I was not qualified to be there. So I quickly got eliminated in that second round. But I distinctly remember Mr. Pinson giving me a chance to go into the next round. And at the time, it felt really, really good because I'm like, you know what? He actually paid attention to me. He actually gave me a second chance. But the embarrassment that ensued in the next round, when I was around all these other kids that were clearly superior to me in terms of their skill with the yo-yo, I did not belong there, and I got kicked out, eliminated, kicked to the curb very quickly. And looking back at it, I think the happiness, the short-term happiness of being allowed to compete was very short-lived compared to the long-term sting of getting kicked out from a place where you know you don't belong. And I feel like I really shouldn't have been given that second opportunity. I was putting in the effort, yes, but it didn't mean that I was giving out the intended result. And it kind of manifested itself over time in other experiences, but it does make me wonder, was Mr. Pinson just being a nice guy and he saw that I was putting in effort and he wanted to help me? Or was it just sort of his personality? He wanted every kid to have a chance? or did I really look better than I actually was? Like, did I fake my way through? It honestly doesn't matter. The point is that I really remember getting kicked out the second round and being embarrassed and knowing that I shouldn't have been there. I didn't have the qualifications to get it to the second round. And I think it was really important that as a kid, as a third grader, I should have been told, hey, you're not good enough to go into the second round. I appreciate the effort, but maybe next time. I think that would have been a very important and a valuable lesson for me to learn, because getting embarrassed at the second round was way worse because it was a public shaming instead of just like a private reprimand. And looking back at it, I think if you have a kid that's around that young age, those formidable years, you should have those serious conversations with them where, look, you're not doing well compared to these other students. And I don't care about people saying, oh, you shouldn't compare yourself to other kids. Oh, you should. It's a competition. That's how we compete. That's how we know who's better or not. And it could have been a great opportunity for them to tell me, look, you might not be good at this, but you're very, very good at this. You put in the effort, you put in the time, but you should be doing this. And that third grade experience always stays in the back of my mind. Like, I don't want to give people the false sense of hope and security. I don't want you to think that you're actually doing a good job when you're really not. I'm going to tell you straight up, yo, you suck. You're not doing a good job. Maybe you should focus on something else, or maybe you need a little bit more training, put in a little bit more effort. It didn't matter what it was, but I never had that serious conversation. And it would have saved me a ton of embarrassment, a ton of punishment later on down the line. That's my third grade yo-yo story. Now, another L that I distinctly remember is in fifth grade. I was in these math competitions. They had these Pythagorean tests, and the Pythagorean theorem is some shit that no one really cares about, but I remember being really good at it. And they had these six questions on these tests, and they would have a series of different tests. And I would always score a 6 out of 6. I always got a perfect score on those tests because I was very good at math as a kid. But when it came time to rewarding the children for the effort that they did, I got second place on every single one of those competitions. The first place kid came from a white conservative family, and even though we had the same exact score, I got second place. And looking back at it, I felt really embarrassed that I got second place first, because I don't like losing. I like winning. I like being first place. That's just how I am. Competition, I think, is healthy, and I think it's good. But when I realized that someone else got first place, even though we had the same exact score, it made me feel like I was cheated. And even though at that specific moment, I was just like, you know, putting a fake smile on, whatever, second place, yeah, I'll come up and take my second place trophy. Deep down, I was burning. I was on fire from the inside because someone took something from me. And I should have been first place. At the very least, we should have both been in first place. But that didn't happen. And that experience actually taught me something way better than getting a first place trophy. It taught me that there are things out of your control, like an incumbent, like the existing competitor, like the person that already has that first place seat, like the person that has a little bit more seniority or superiority compared to you, the person that has family connections compared to you. If you want to dethrone that first place competitor, the person that is at the very top of the game, you have to be so much better than that person, where it's so blatantly obvious that no one can tell you you didn't outperform that person. And I didn't do that. In fact, we tied. And so, like they do in UFC matches and in boxing matches and heavyweight titles, if the champion does a similar job to the competitor, where you can't really tell that it's blatantly obvious that the competitor outperformed and knocked out this champion, then that title remains with the champion. And that's the lesson. The lesson is that when there's already someone in that first place category, and you're the competitor that's trying to go up in the ranks, you have to prove yourself so much further, and it has to be so much more significant on how much you defeated that person in order for you to deserve the number one spot. So looking back at it, I'm very thankful that they didn't give me that first place trophy or that I tied with the other first place competitor. I do feel like it was racially incentivized and I was prejudiced because I was not a white American and I didn't speak English as good in fifth grade. But it did show me that in order to be a number one, in order to beat that number one person, it had to be so much higher. I had to be so much better. And I didn't do that. And that's always stuck with me. Even since fifth grade, I still remember that feeling of being cheated, but still knowing that the better lesson, the bigger, more important experience that I got from it was that if you want to be number one, you have to beat number one. You don't tie with number one. You have to beat number one. So a perfect score is not enough. Being number one is not enough. You have to beat every other person by a long shot. So no one can ever argue with you that you don't deserve that number one spot. That's why taking L's is important. Now, as I got older, I started getting more of these sort of stories that just kind of became part of my upbringing. And one that really sticks in my mind is the King of the Hill. So in ninth grade, I weighed 108 pounds, soaking wet. And I remember the wrestling team really wanted me to compete with them, but I thought it was the cool thing to do to join the football team. And in football, they had this camp called Bell Buckle. Bell Buckle, Tennessee is a football camp. You go there and you train 2 to 3 times a day. You exercise, you lift, you hang out with all the high school football buddies. It was awesome. It was literally like a mini vacation slash resort, but you're also training and competing in football. And they had this event called the King of the Hill, where they get all the freshmen to start at the bottom of the hill and they run all the way up to the top of the hill. And you had to basically beat up every other freshman that was at the top of the hill and push them off the ledge so they fall down the hill and roll down. And it was spray painted. There was a box at the top of the hill where anyone that got their foot or was kicked out of that area was disqualified until there was one person remaining, the King of the Hill. And so I remember I was with this other kid named Shane, and we kind of, because we were both small wide receivers, we kind of just got to the side and pretended like we were fighting the whole time. He would grab my face mask, I'd grab my face mask, we'd just be headbutting each other, and waiting for all the big kids to basically fight each other off. And then once we finally got to a point where there was only a few people remaining, I pushed Shane a little bit, his foot got stepped out of the ring, and so now I'm one of the few people remaining. And there were two kids remaining, two linemen, like linemen are much, much bigger than a receiver usually. And I kind of stood back. I remember Coach Weingarten put me to the back and said, all right, you just need to wait. I'm going to protect you until the other kids fight each other off. And at the very end, these two kids, Rob and Andre, were both fighting with each other. And I came from behind and pushed both of them down the hill. And I was the King of the Hill. I was the champion. And I remember the coach, the head coach, Ronnie McClurg, didn't give me that King of the Hill championship. They gave it to someone else. They gave it to a kid whose parents were actually donating a lot of money to the high school program, to the football program. They never gave me that King of the Hill reward, because you're supposed to get like a little trophy and it's supposed to be bragging rights for the entire year. And that's really why you want it. It's the bragging rights for the year. And they didn't give that to me, even though I was the King of the Hill. I was the last man standing. And looking back at it, I realized that money played a big role. It's not just racially motivated. It's not just the fact that I was this like Arab kid that's never played football that didn't necessarily belong, or that I was the Muslim kid that needed to pray or fast during football season. I'm gonna tell you about that story. But it was because another kid's family was donating more money to the football program and they wanted their kid to be the King of the Hill. And that was the reason why I didn't win. And that's the reason why I didn't get that trophy. And that was the reason why I didn't get that year of bragging rights. And that was the reason why all the other kids were calling me a cheater for saying, oh, you didn't really win, you didn't really earn it. And that sucked. But it taught me that life isn't fair. Just because you win doesn't mean you're going to get the glory. And sometimes winning in your head is more important than winning in the real life. Knowing that I'm a winner deep down inside, knowing that I'm a champion deep down inside, I don't care what any of you all think. I'm the champion. I'm the winner. And we go toe-to-toe, I'm gonna knock you out. I don't need the glory. That's fine. Yeah, it hurts. It's nice to have those accolades and to stack them up and be able to brag. But that lesson taught me that being a champion on the inside is more important than what the world sees. And when you got that inner peace and that inner happiness, it's far, far stronger and longer lasting than that short-term glory. In 10th grade, I had my first real experience of racism. It was after 2 years of playing football in my local high school. There was a rule that anyone who played for 2 years would get a letterman jacket. Didn't matter if you were JV, varsity, freshman, third string, bench warmer, didn't matter what it was. As long as you played for 2 years, you're gonna get that letterman jacket. And I played for 2 years. I played my sophomore year, my freshman year, and when the roster finally came out, I looked at all the names and my name wasn't on the list. I thought, well, that's odd. So I went to the head coach, to Coach Ronnie McClurg, and asked him, hey, why is my name not on the list? He said, well, it's because you didn't really play for 2 years. I said, well, yeah, I did. I came to every practice, came to every game. I showed up. I was present. He said, yeah, well, you know, those last 4 games, those last 4 weeks of the season, you didn't really dress up. I'm like, yeah, because I was fasting. It was the month of Ramadan. I wasn't eating or drinking or consuming anything throughout the entire day. And if I was going to put on all of my football gear, I'd probably get dehydrated. And it's not like I was even playing. They had plenty of other receivers that were actually on the field playing, getting dressed up. So I wasn't even qualified to even play. He said, yeah, well, because you didn't dress up, then, you know, you don't get the letterman jacket. I thought, well, you didn't tell me that. Why would I have even showed up to the games? Why would I even still been competing? Everyone knows that for 2 years when you play football, you get the letterman jacket. You get to walk around and brag about it. And there's some people that still live in high school even 10 to 20 years later. But I never got that. And you never told me that I wouldn't be entitled to the jacket. In fact, I probably would have just pushed through and put on the gear if I knew that it was going to cost me that jacket. He said, yeah, well, you know, maybe you'll get it next year. No, there's no next year. I'm not doing this again. You cheated me. You took advantage of me. You knew that I was going to come and play and participate. I didn't get any of the Friday dinners with the entire football team. I stayed in the locker rooms and prayed with everyone. Even though I'm Muslim, I still learned the Christian prayers that you guys, even though there is a separation of church and state, you still made sure that we were praising the Lord and Jesus Christ every single time we had a football game. I learned the prayers. I learned to be involved, and I wanted to be a part of the team. And I still dressed up and came to practice every single day. If anyone needed the water or the snacks or whatever, like, I was there. But I didn't get the letterman jacket. And I realized that sometimes, even if you put in all of the effort, other people can control the result. And it shouldn't bother you, especially when it comes down to your lack of ability to fit in, your lack of resources, your lack of the right skin complexion or color. There is racism, there is prejudice, there is unfairness in the world. And it shouldn't affect how you perceive yourself. Sometimes you just have to do your absolute best and move on. And you know what I did? Instead of complaining and bitching and moaning about it, I quit. I finished out my high school years, went to college, got into law school, got my business degree, started my law firm, and now I give letterman jackets to every single employee that's been with me for over 2 years. That's how I took that L and turned it into a W. So if you're ever in a situation where someone's taking advantage of you because of racism, because of your skin color, because of your lack of resources or financial capabilities, just remember, it's your choice on how you want to take that L and turn it into a positive. Now, as I finished high school and finished and started getting into college, I started expanding more and traveling more. And one of the biggest L's that I think was significant in my career was at age 19 when I started my wholesale company called AMD Wholesalers. At age 19, I started this company, AMD Wholesalers, Awad Master Distributors, where I would sell car audio, wheels, tires, capacitors, electronics, wires, everything that I'd get my hands on, and I would sell it wholesale. And I had this one big whale of a customer out in New Orleans. And the very first time they placed an order, it was for like $19,000. I loaded up the trailer and drove all the way to New Orleans from Dalton, Georgia to New Orleans, Louisiana, which was like a 12-hour drive. Unloaded all the merchandise. They paid me the checks. It was a great transaction. I made some money, came back. The next time they placed an order for $25,000. And I was like, great, more money, more business. Hey, we're actually moving along. I'm 19 years old. I drive halfway across the country. I deliver that merchandise and they give me a stack of checks. And they say, hey, we need to make these payments over time. So just do me a favor and deposit these checks starting next week or the week after. I said, cool, you know, you guys are good for it. We had a good transaction, the first $19,000. There's no reason why you would take advantage of me on the second one. Well, they did. And every single time I tried to deposit a check, came back, non-sufficient fund, came back, bank account closed, came back, there's an ish problem with the issuer. And every time I'd have to pay a $35 non-sufficient fund fee. So I'm calling the owners in Louisiana. Hey, what's going on? I delivered the merchandise. I did everything for you. I thought we were good friends. They were also Palestinian. They were also Muslim. And we prayed side by side. Literally together as Palestinian Muslims, we prayed side by side. I said, are you trying to scam me? I said, is you calling me a scammer? I said, no, man, I'm just asking, are you trying to scam me? He said, how about this? How about you come back to New Orleans to grab your stuff and I'll put a bullet in your head? Well, that escalated quickly. But I realized that $25,000 loss taught me an extremely valuable lesson. Don't ever do work unless you get paid. Obviously, that doesn't apply when you're interning or when you're shadowing someone or you're trying to be a confidant and learn and grow with a company in the early stages. I'm talking about as a business owner. If you're a business owner and you know you're supposed to get paid on a particular product or service, don't do work where you're not going to get paid. And more importantly, don't trust people that could potentially go broke. So my entire business model now as a personal injury lawyer relies on insurance companies delivering checks and making sure that they get processed and paid in a prompt manner. And guess what? State Farm's checks don't bounce. So I learned that in that experience, I don't want to be doing criminal defense. I don't want to be doing immigration. I don't want to be doing any family law or things where I have to chase after clients to get my money. I want to do my work and get paid. And that's a huge reason why I'm a personal injury lawyer today. So yeah, that was a short-term L. $25,000 as a teenager is a big loss. But now, looking back at it in my 30s, I'm really glad I went through that experience because I probably wouldn't be sitting in this seat today. That's why losing early on is way more important than taking soft, slow wins from time to time. You need to learn what it's like to lose because you'll really enjoy the process of winning much more. So that was at age 19. Now I'm thinking, okay, I've had all these different losses in my life. They've all taught me different lessons. But what's a very important lesson that I learned? When I was a senior in college, I had a store in Town Center Mall, Joker's Audio, in Town Center Mall. We signed a lease for $2,500 a month so that we could sell car audio and wheels inside Town Center Mall. And I remember the manager of the mall calling me one day, and I'm sitting on the green on the KSU campus, because I distinctly remember I was right outside the gym, sitting on the green. I get a call from the manager of the mall. They said, hey, your employee is throwing trash away in a non-designated area. We already gave you a warning. So that's it. Your lease is being canceled. You're getting evicted. You need to be out within the next 30 days. And I was like, whoa, I'm sorry. Is there anything I can do? We don't mind paying a fine. Like, I want to stay in there. Like, I'm really sorry. I'll fire the employee. I'll do whatever. Just keep me in there. They said, nope, sorry. There's nothing you can do. You need to get out of here. And I just sat with my hands, my head, just disappointed and just thinking, like, man, I lost the best opportunity that I possibly could have had. And I probably sulked for about 5 minutes. And then I got up and said, screw it. That's done. There's nothing I can do about it. What's next? I immediately started looking for another location to move my store. We found another shop directly outside of Town Center Mall. It was three times the space. It had its own parking and garage area in the back where we could do installations in the back. And we were basically able to do whatever we want because they were charging us $4 a square foot in rent, which is unheard of. CAM included, triple net. If you're a commercial lease person, you know, $4 a square foot in a prominent area, triple net, all in, is an astronomically insane deal. And we found that. And I never would have found that deal had it not been for me getting kicked out of that first store. So that experience taught me that sometimes what you think is a loss right now is actually a much better win. Because when you're inside a door, you've opened a door to opportunity, and you see this world of wins and experiences and extravagance, you're only focused on this world. And you can't possibly know what you don't know until you close that door and open a new one. So remember that what might feel like a loss right now could be the biggest win ever. You just don't know it yet. Now, we've shared a couple of different stories about all these different losses from third grade, fifth grade, on to high school, on to college. And I was just talking with my media team, and they were saying, hey, you should talk about this loss that you recently had in the law firm. And before I get into that, I want to say this. I started working at a very young age. I had all these different businesses. I would travel to Vegas to the Consumer Electronics Showcase at age 16. We'd go there every single year. We'd meet with distributors and wholesalers and manufacturers. I learned how to speak Spanish and Chinese and negotiating these very, very big deals. And I did it with my family, so we kind of were all supporting each other. And when you're in the trenches, you don't really think about how much you're growing. It just kind of becomes natural. Last month, I lost $200,000 in my business, meaning I spent $200,000 more than I actually made. And that happened because there were several settlements, several cases that we were intending to settle, but we didn't get good enough offers on them, and we decided to file a lawsuit on those cases. And instead of just convincing the client, hey, take the settlement and move on and pocketing some of that profit, I decided that it would be better to take that short-term loss to get that long-term gain. And now I know that these cases, yeah, they probably set me back hundreds of thousands of dollars now, but when they do finally settle, we go to trial within the next 12 to 36 months, it's going to result in millions of dollars in additional revenue for my firm. And the reason I share that story with you is because sometimes you have to take those short-term losses because they're better for you in the long run. Sometimes you have to get rid of that bad habit, this nasty activity that you do, so that you can see what the future holds for you and give you that positive outlook and perspective on life. And that's exactly what I did. Luckily, I have a healthy enough business where we could take these losses back to back to back, and it's not going to affect my clients. I'm never going to settle a case unless I know with 100% certainty that it's in the best interest of our client. But being comfortable with that loss is the difference between a strong CEO and a weak CEO. Some people focus just on the numbers and just on the money, and they think that I have to keep making money, otherwise my business is not going to grow. But there are levels to this game. And sometimes you have to take a step back to jump 10 steps forward. And so even though I lost $200,000 last month, I really don't mind. I see it as a win because it's a small short-term L, but a big long-term W. And that's what we should be focused on. Yes, there will be opportunities to win in the short term, but don't ever make a short-term decision based on long-term goals. If you know you want to accomplish something in the long run, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, don't make bad decisions today that are going to affect it. So I'm Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer. I hope these stories have been beneficial to you. I know that we kind of went into all these different stories of my childhood and my upbringing, but it's important for everyone to know that taking L's is part of the process. And not only is it good for you, but it's necessary to appreciate the wins. Hope you enjoyed this show. Tune in next time for the CEO Lawyer Podcast. And don't forget to drop your comments below so we can get more ideas on what topics to cover next. Take care, and I'll see you later.